Tobacco has already become a major campaign issue this year, with Bob Dole saying that it might not be addictive for some people, and with Democrats working hard to link Dole to the tobacco industry. It is also about to become a major First Amendment issue, as the administration battles with tobacco sellers over teen smoking. In court filings over the next few weeks, tobacco companies, advertising agencies, and retailers will be outlining their arguments against new government restrictions on tobacco ads that reach teenagers. As NPR's Barbara Bradley reports, the industries involved insist the new regulations are unconstitutional.
If the Food and Drug Administration has its way, a careful observer may notice a few things missing from the landscape over the next 18 months. Gone will be the billboards of the Marlboro Man, or the Newport couple splashing under a waterfall. No longer will Joe Camel visit the pages of People, Glamour, Sports Illustrated, any magazine with a significant youth readership. That's defined as more than 15% or 2 million readers under the age of 18. In their place, says Mitch Zeller, Deputy Associate Commissioner at the FDA, there will be black and white text.
We're trying as much as we can to break that link between a fun, exciting, glamorous, sexy lifestyle and the use of tobacco, because that has an appeal to young people.
Every year, Zeller says, a million children take up the habit, and studies suggest that a third of those will die prematurely as a result. Even the tobacco companies agree that the government has a significant interest in deterring children from smoking. For one thing, it's illegal. For another, smoking by kids has jumped by a third since 1991. But Charles Blixt, general counsel of R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, says the limits on advertising announced by the FDA last month suggest a larger purpose.
And what the FDA is doing here is limiting adults who choose to smoke, limiting their access to information about cigarettes under the guise of protecting youth who are not allowed to buy cigarettes.
The new limits are so draconian, Blixt says, that they violate the constitutional protection of commercial speech. Now, commercial speech may be regulated if the government has a substantial interest in doing so. But for the regulations to survive a legal challenge, experts say, the government also has to show that they directly and materially advance their goal. In other words, that limiting ads will actually make a dent in teen smoking.
Can I borrow a dollar?
I've got like 90 cents.
I have this, and I borrow 90 cents.
Bethesda Chevy Chase High School seemed as good a place as any to test the first premise, the link between teen smoking and advertising. If name recognition is any measure, the tobacco campaigns for Marlboro, Camel, and Newport are a clear success.
If I were going to say Marlboro, what would you think of?
You said bubbles?
Cowboys! And if I were going to say Camel, what would you think of?
A camel.
And if I were going to say Newport, what would you think of?
Most of the teenagers this day and age.
Newport is the cigarette of choice in this crowd. Asked why children smoke, one boy says little kids begin to smoke because they see big kids smoking. It has nothing to do with advertising, he says, and new limits won't make a difference.
Well, they stopped the TV advertisements. All that didn't really change anything. I don't see why taking away any more advertisements would.
What's that?
Isn't that unconstitutional? Just to, like, to stop that? Because, I mean, they have a right to sell a product, even if it's, like, a bad product, you know, they have a right.
That's pretty much the view of the tobacco industry, which, along with retailers and advertising companies, are suing in federal court to dismantle the FDA restrictions. Legal scholars say to justify the rules, the FDA has to show that limits on advertising are likely to reduce smoking. Otherwise, the limits are pointless. Blixt at R.J. Reynolds claims that studies from other countries suggest ads and smoking are unrelated. Moreover, he claims, the cartoon character in the R.J. Reynolds ads, Joe Camel, who's better known than Ronald McDonald among six-year-olds, is not aimed at children, but at people over 21. Blixt adds that the Federal Trade Commission already looked into whether Joe Camel encouraged children to begin smoking.
And they concluded, as we've concluded, that Joe Camel does not cause kids to smoke. And if we believed that Joe Camel caused kids to smoke, we'd stop advertising it.
For anybody to say that there isn't an association, isn't a connection between tobacco advertising and young people's use of cigarettes and smokeless tobacco is to simply ignore the facts.
The FDA's Mitch Zeller. He notes that the three most heavily advertised brands are also the three most popular with underage smokers. He adds that the Joe Camel campaign moved Camel cigarettes from a 3% market share to more than 13% among young smokers. Lars Noah, a law professor at the University of Florida, says the FDA has plenty of research reports showing a link between color advertising and underage smoking.
The court only requires what they sometimes call a reasonable fit, or that some proof that the regulation directly advances the government's interest. And I think the FDA has pulled together more than enough information in this proceeding.
A more vulnerable part of the FDA regulations, Noah says, is the question of overkill. The government must show that its rules are the least restrictive way to curtail teenage smoking. In legal terms, they must be narrowly tailored. Dan Jaffe, executive vice president of the Association of National Advertisers, says his industry could live with a surgical strike at ads targeting underage smokers.
But that's not what the FDA rule does. It says that any picture, when we don't have to look at the picture, any illustration, and we don't have to look at the illustration, or any color, however drab that color may be, is a per se effort to get at children. And we say that's nonsense.
Jaffe is confident that the courts will strike down the regulations. The FDA's definition of youth readership, 15% or 2 million readers, means that the industry can't reach 85% of the adult audience. The rules include too many people, he says. But David Vladek, director of Public Citizen Litigation Group, says the courts allow for some wiggle room.
The Constitution doesn't demand a perfection in line drawing, particularly in where commercial speech is involved, because by its nature, any selection of a numerical cutoff point is going to be somewhat arbitrary.
And, Vladek says, courts generally defer to the government's judgment on these issues. But no one can predict the outcome with any confidence. In recent years, the Supreme Court has shown itself less sympathetic to government limits on commercial speech. In May, the court struck down a ban on alcohol advertising in Rhode Island, a decision that greatly encourages tobacco companies. Oral arguments in the case open in February in a North Carolina courtroom. In the meantime, both sides are gearing up for a major clash of values: free speech, the health of children, and $6 billion in advertising revenue. I'm Barbara Bradley in Washington.